Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
It's no secret that young people are delaying marriage. Do they want to get married? That's the question. Many of them say yes, eventually, but why are they delaying it? What does it mean for society? And do they have a hard time finding someone that's even suitable for marriage, especially young women finding young men suitable for marriage? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about a new study on why Americans who desire marriage remain single, Tim Gagline, Vice President of Government and External Relations for Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., formerly served as Deputy Director of the White House Office of Public Liaison for President George W. Bush. He's co-author of the book American Restoration and a recent column for The Federalist titled Study Finds Single Americans Want to Get Married but Don't Like Their Prospects. Tim, welcome back.
Todd, it's great to be with you.
How do we know that many single people are really not single by choice?
Well, countless young single Americans appear on the surface to enjoy their perceived freedom, you know, that comes without a commitment to one person. And of course, Todd, if they have an active social life, they often say they enjoy having numerous relationships with a lot of people. But deep down, when you ask questions that, you know, go beyond the superficial, they consistently express their ache for that special relationship with a person they can commit to and connect with for life. And many of these singles, it seems to me, yearn to be married, but the institutions that provided the opportunity to meet that lifetime spouse have severely weakened.
What has happened to those institutions that used to mediate relationships between young people?
I think this is really the most important question in this whole area of exploration about singles versus married, because these institutions, as I mentioned a moment ago, that provide the opportunity to meet a lifetime spouse have really begun to crumble. And what we're talking about here are intact nuclear families, churches that are thriving, community organizations. For many young Americans, this breakdown of community has led to what a friend of mine has called a breakdown of persons. And I think that this pillaring of our great institutions is a significant factor.
Does the delay of marriage play a role as well?
You know, I really think that it does, because while many assume that it's a lack of money or having a stable job in today's economic uncertainty, where inflation is the highest, for instance, in 30 years, we would think that maybe these would be the main reasons that people are choosing not to get married. But I think we'd be erroneous about that, because the research shows, and pretty convincingly, Todd, that the number one reason cited by singles for not getting married was what they perceived to be the difficulty in finding the right person to marry. This is incredibly significant in the research.
So, speaking of the research, what do we know from an Institute for Family Studies study that recently came out about contributing factors that further isolate single people?
I'm really glad that you asked that, because regardless of income, a vast majority of single Americans who desire marriage want their future spouse to be responsible. They want their spouse to be emotionally stable. They want their spouse to share the same values about having and raising children. Now, I would agree that these are the traits, you know, we should all be looking for in a future spouse. And marrying someone who is, you know, not responsible or emotionally unstable or not on the same page regarding parenting, of course, would be a recipe for marital disaster. But unfortunately, with this societal breakdown of the family, the lack of marital and parental role models who are overwhelmingly available to young people today, many singles are finding, Todd, that potential spouses with these traits are getting harder and harder to find.
What specifically are they looking for in a prospective partner?
Well, I'll tell you, they are looking for responsibility. And, you know, they're looking for that individual who they can spend a lifetime with, broadly speaking, who they regard, even in a relatively young courtship or dating life, as someone who is responsible, someone who is stably, emotionally and mentally, someone who, very broadly speaking, shares the same worldview and the same values. And, you know, for the long history of our country, these types of people, regardless of whether they came out of the same income background or the same educational background or the same geographical background, often had a greater opportunity to find a larger pool of potential future mates. That's become winnowed and much more narrow in the culture that we're in.
So talk about the breakdown of the family and how that has kind of cascaded into making matters worse for finding those very people that single people say they want to find.
You bet. The natural nuclear family was once called the original Department of Health and Human Services, far beyond expansive government here in Washington or in the state capitals, because the stability, the continuity, the general order of a natural nuclear family, very often across generationally, provided this remarkable foundation for the next generation to build upon. And as we have seen the largest decline in marriage in American history, as we have seen the largest decline in fertility in American history, we realize that it's ultimately rooted in the breakdown of the natural nuclear family in America. And these cultural and social trend lines have enormous demographic categories. And I think we're seeing it in this very important study on why singles are finding it more difficult to be married.
So if you would, talk about the previous dynamic that existed between a stable family and strong institutions that made both stronger, but no longer exists.
I think that this is the single most important demographic question that we have in American life in the 21st century. Because if you are living through a time when families are experiencing large amounts of divorce, when you live through a time where you have the largest percentage in American history of people who have never been married before and do not intend to get married, even in a large, complex, continental nation of 350 million people, you realize that the so-called field for finding a future mate has become dramatically smaller. And I think that in large measure, that is contributing to what this very powerful study has discerned.
You point out that the second biggest reason for remaining single is being unprepared for commitment. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I am particularly interested in this finding and was very eager to write about it, because if the most important reason of not getting married is a difficulty in finding kind of responsibility in a future mate, I think that the second most cited reason for not getting married, as you say, not being ready for commitment, is equally large. Fear of commitment, I think, Todd, often is the result of experiencing broken relationships with a mother or a father at some time in a person's development, or even the lack of a loving, supportive community. And in fact, I want to share just this data set with you and your listeners, if I may. 19%, almost 2 of every 10, 19% of both men and women surveyed said that fear of divorce was a primary reason they remained unmarried. Thus, these singles, they want to be married and make a lifelong commitment to a relationship. But at the end of the day, Todd, they are scared off out of fear that it might not last, as they have seen played out too many times in our society and more often than we'd like to admit, even in their own families.
So you say that these fear of both commitment and of divorce lead to being emotionally paralyzed. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is the following. It might not be the fear of getting married, but the fear of making the wrong decision in choosing a lifelong mate that is keeping people from getting married. I mean, as a result, they themselves become emotionally paralyzed about relationships. And you don't even need to have data sets or empirical data to show this is the case. I'm sure this has happened to you, Todd. When I talk with singles or with friends who were single for longer than they really wanted to be, that is the message that always seems to come through. The delay in getting married or not getting married at all also has, I think, profound consequences for our society, and it's rooted in this kind of fear and lack of confidence that strong communities, strong churches, and strong families provide a foundation for.
Are there societal consequences to delaying marriage?
The delay in getting married or not getting married at all has, in my view, very profound consequences for American society and for the future. And here's what I mean. The longer marriage is delayed, the less likely couples are, I think, to have multiple children or even any children at all. I mean, the result will be an increasingly aging society that does not have enough young taxpayers, frankly, to support the gargantuan entitlements of a rapidly growing older population. I mean, this is a scenario for economic disaster at many turns. I mean, I am by nature an inveterate optimist, but when you look at the actual numbers and you realize the consequences for large numbers of singles and a lessened number of marrieds, it ultimately has ramifications in a country like ours.
How does marriage itself stabilize the lives of men, of women, and of children?
Well, you know, as this powerful survey shows, the number one trait that people look for in a spouse is responsibility. And marriage is a stabilizing force, which is the premise of your question. And here's what I mean. When two people get married, their focus hopefully becomes not just on one another and the children they produce, but also on the concept of the family and the rising generation, rather than on themselves. So self-gratification, I think, fades away as one sees beyond his or her own wants and instead spends time concentrating on the needs of others. That's precisely how strong and nourishing countries, cultures, and civilizations not only survive, but thrive into the next generation.
It seems ironic to me that much of what single people want in relationships, and therefore delay marriage to find, can be found in abundance in marriage itself. Talk about that.
I love that, and I'm so glad you said it in precisely the way that you did. For these reasons that we have discussed, it is absolutely essential that we both encourage and strengthen the very institutions, families, churches, community associations that will essentially provide the soil of the seeds of the continuation of the next generation, because it is these institutions that produce the possibility for young people to meet each other and to form a strong, lasting, lifelong marriage. I mean, in other words, this is how a country produces healthy young adults who will become responsible spouses and parents. And if all of us share a very strong goal of American restoration, I think it is the conversation that we're having today that is so essential of seeing larger numbers of single Americans become married Americans with children who find great joy and contentment in the family unit.
Finally, how can society act to encourage marriage?
You know, I think creating healthy environments and doing so intentionally that encourage marriage, that encourages singles to step beyond their comfort zone and to form stable lifelong relationships, with that stability, by the way, strengthening our society, both in the short and in the long term as well, I think that this is profoundly the most important role in the public square in America today, because if we can overwhelmingly work, and intentionally so, to create these healthy environments where young people can meet each other and form strong families, I believe that we can once again be a society of connected rather than broken people. And overall, I think that's the goal.
Tim Gagelein is Vice President of Government and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., formerly served as Deputy Director of White House Office of Public Liaison for President George W. Bush. He's author of the book American Restoration and a recent column for The Federalist titled Study Finds Single Americans Want to Get Married but Don't Like Their Prospects. You can read it and purchase American Restoration on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Tim, thank you.
Todd, thank you so much.
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.